Es kann so sein, dass ich nicht mehr so sagen, wenn ich mich nicht mehr so sagen kann. The Gemara had said that Rav Shimon holds that if something stands to be redeemed, it's considered as if it has been redeemed with regard to being considered as if it had a moment of fitness for purposes of food tumah. The Gemara also said that Rav Shimon holds that if something stands to have zrika done to it, if it's oimid lezrika, it's considered as if the zrika was done for purposes of food tumah. Based on this, the Gemara said that Rav Shimon's ruling was specifically in a case where a zrika could not have been done. Rav Ashi said that he repeated this to Rav Nachman, who said that Rav Shimon may even be discussing a case where a zrika could have been done, and that although Rav Shimon holds that if there's a possibility for redemption, it's considered to have been redeemed, he does not hold that if there was a chance that zrika is considered to have been done. Zrika is a true act, and therefore can't be considered as done without the act having been done, whereas redemption is a matter of words, which we can view as having been said, even if they weren't truly said. In fact, Gemara Mishnah says, Rabbi Shua says a rule, any carbon that had a moment of permissibility for the Kehana before it became possible is not subject to Me'ila, whereas a carbon that did not have a moment of Heter before becoming possible is subject to Me'ila. What's the case of a possible carbon that had a moment of heter for the kahanim? It's a carbon that became possible with lino, or that became tome, or that left the area was yoytze. What's a case of a possible carbon that did not have a moment of heter? It's a carbon that became possible with intent for pigle beyond its time, beyond its place, or where a possible person did the kabbalah and the zrika. Now the Mishnah says that the case of lino is a case where there was a moment of heter. Presumably this case is even where the meat and the blood were left overnight without a zrika having been done. And we see that the fact that the zrika could have been done is enough of a reason to consider that the carbon that's having and had a moment of heter. After the Mishnah is discussing where zrika was actually done before it was left overnight. Based on this, if a carbon was left overnight without a zrika having been done, the Mishnah would hold that it's subject to Me'ila. However, the words of the Mishnah don't suggest that approach. The Mishnah is stated in past tense. Any carbon that had a moment of permissibility and any carbon that did not have a moment of permissibility would suggest that the carbon became fit to become permitted without having actually become permitted. If what we have just said is correct, that the Mishnah means to include only where the zrika was actually done, the Mishnah should have used the present tense, any carbon that does not have. Based on the words of the Mishnah, it would seem to suggest that if something stands to have a zrika done, we consider it as if it was done. This refutes Rav Ashi. And rather, Rav Ashi said, you can't ask from a case of Me'ila and a case of Tumah. With regard to Me'ila, it depends on whether there is a Kedusha in the carbon or not. And therefore, once it is ready to have zrika, the Kedusha is considered to be removed. With regard to food Tumah, it depends on whether the item is considered to be a food. It's only considered to be a food once the zrika was actually having taken place. Fact number Mishnah says, if someone brings an Ashram Tali and then finds out that he never did the Aveira that he thought he did, if he did not yet check the animal, or Meir says the animal becomes chulin, the Chum say it should be left to graze and get a woman sold, and the proceeds should be used to bring an Oidas Nadova. Well, Yezza says it should still be brought as an Ashram because the person has certainly done another Aveira that requires the carbon. If the carbon was already shechted, the blood should be poured out and the meat should be burned off the Mizbech. If his Rika had already been done, the meat should be eaten by the Kahana. Yezza says, even if the blood was still in the cup from the Kabbalah, his Rika should be done and the meat should be eaten. Rav explains Rav Yossi follows the view of Rav Shimon, who says that something that stands for ready for zrika is considered like the zrika was already done, and therefore, since the blood was ready for zrika before he found out that the carbon was not needed, it's considered that it was already done, and the meat therefore becomes mutar for the kahana. We see Rav Shimon holds this way even to establish something as food. And for the Gemara, Rav Ashi would argue with Rav and would say, like Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, that the reason of Rav Yossi is that he holds that a klisharus makes kaddish what's put inside of it, even if the thing it put inside is possible, and it makes the kaddish to be offered even the chatchila. Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana, since we said that according to Rav Shimon, when something is ready to have zrika done to it, it's considered as if the zrika was done, he l'chayu also has to say that when something stands to be burned, it's considered as if it was already burned. If so, why does Rav Shimon say that Noiser and Paraduma are subject to food tumah? They should be considered as having been reduced to ashes and should therefore not be subject to food tumah. Rav Kahana said the fact that they're items of kodesh makes them subject to tumah, even though they're viewed as ash. Rav Inna asked Rav Ashi, if you're saying that the fact that the items are kodesh makes them fully subject to tumah, to the extent that they become tameh and make other things tameh as well, we should be able to answer the question posed by Rish Lakish whether a dry piece of a mincha is only tameh or whether it can make other things tameh at the Rishon HaSheni as well. And tomorrow Rish Lakish was asking the halacha deraisa, whereas we are discussing the status derabbanon. So up the next mission, if a person says, I am obligating myself to bring a mincha in a machvas keli, and he then brought a mincha in a marcheshes, or vice versa, the mincha is kosher, but he has not fulfilled his obligation. If a person said, this flour is to be brought in a machvas, and he then brought it in a marcheshes, or vice versa, the mincha is possible. But she continues, if a person said, I am obligating myself to bring a mincha of two isara in a flour in one keli, and he then brought it in two kelim, or one isara in each, or vice versa, the mincha is kosher, but he has not fulfilled his obligation. If he said the two isara are to be brought in one keli, and he then brought them in two kelim, or vice versa, possible. Mishnah continues, if a person said, I'm obligating myself to bring a mincha of two isarin of flour in one keli, and then he brought him two kelim, and the people then told him, but you obligated yourself to bring it in one keli, and he anyway continued to bring them in two kelim, it's possible. If after being told this, he put all the flour into one keli, it's kosher. If a person said, I'm obligating myself to bring a mincha of two isarin of flour in two kelim, and then he brought them in one kelim, and the people told him, but you obligate yourself to bring them in two kelim. If he then listened and put the flour into two kelim, kosher. If after being told he put all the flour into one keli, it's like a case of where the two menachas became mixed into one keli. Zakting where both cases at the beginning of Mishnah are needed, because the Mishnah would only give him the case of where the person switched from Achvas Merchash, as we would think that in that case he had not filled the obligation because he brought an entirely different mincha than he was obligated himself to bring. However, in the second case where he brought the type he was supposed to bring and only switched the amount of the flour, we would think that maybe he has fulfilled his obligation. If we only have a second case, we would think that over there, that change in size is what leaves his obligation unfulfilled. But if in the first case, where at least the size that he had promised he brought, we would say his obligation had even been fulfilled. A brice regarding our Mishnah says that when the mincha brought was different than the one promised to be brought, the mincha is kosher, but he has not fulfilled the obligation. Rav Shimon says he even fulfills the obligation with this other mincha. Mishnah then said, if he says, Zu lahavi b'machavas, Rekmar Brisa says, when ingredients for one type of mincha are put into a kli shares for another type of mincha, the wrong keli does not make them kodesh. If so, why does our Mishnah say that it's possible? After what Abaye said, the Braisa means it doesn't make it kodesh to be brought on the Mizbech, but does make it kodesh to become possible. Abaye said it only becomes possible when he established the type of mincha at the time that he made the neder. However, if he made a general neder for a mincha, and only later when designating the flour did he say what type of mincha it should be for, it would not become possible if it's brought for another type of mincha. This is based on the pasuk of Kasher Nadarto, which teaches that one must bring the carbon as he promised, but not necessarily at what was designated at another time. The same thing was said by Rav Acha bar Chanina, the name of Rav Asi, and the name of Rabbi Yochanan.